Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A little bit later, our conversation with Bob Costas. You'll hear that coming up just around the corner. Jeremy Fowler is now on the line with us. We're going to talk a little NFL with him. Jeremy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing better than my two co-hosts. We had a fun game talking about Amari Cooper and his 26th birthday, joining six other receivers in NFL history with 5,000 or more receiving yards prior to their 26th birthday. And let's just say they didn't do well. It was not what you would expect to be on that list of only seven guys to do it in NFL history. Obviously, it's a little bit more slanted toward modern guys because of the offenses, but nonetheless, it was a fun game. When you look around the league right now, and you see how things have changed, and everybody has tried to devalue the running game, but yet think about some of the success last year in the league, the Titans being one of them, a team that could run the football. And the Rams, when they got to the Super Bowl, running the football, the Ravens were very good running the football, yet we tend to always gravitate and talk about passing and the receivers.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at running backs, and really, Derrick Henry is one of five top 10 backs right now that are looking for a new contract, right? And they have good reason to want a big deal because they carry their teams in a lot of spots. So, you know, you can still win with running backs. The question is, do you want to pay them because you know there's so many good ones out there that you can potentially replace them with? But, yeah, it's an era right now where you have at least 12 high-end running backs around the league, guys that are elite. And so it changes the game. And so it's such a good position that even you look at a guy like Christian McCaffrey, everybody thinks is the top guy. But there really are six guys that you could say are the best in the league, and you wouldn't be wrong. And Henry is one of them.
Yeah. How would you handle it if you were John Robinson, the general manager for the Titans? What would you do with Derrick Henry? How would you handle the situation? So,
I would find a sweet spot. You know, Christian McCaffrey, $16 million a year on his new deal is probably an outlier, you know, considering he does so much in the passing game and Henry doesn't do as much, not that he can't do it, but I think most don't consider him a natural threat in, say, the slot, you know. But the problem is that $10 million franchise tag is too low. Henry would be insulted if he took a long-term deal at $10 million per year. He'd probably rather play that out and hit free agency the year after. But so you come to a sweet spot, maybe $12 or $13 million, so, you know, you split the difference. Find something in the middle that accommodates the player, knowing that your locker room would probably have a revolt if he didn't at least try to pay this guy who clearly put the team on his back at times at the end of the year. So you got to reward some of that while protecting yourself as well. And I think there's a way to do that for both sides.
Good point. We've talked about it this week and obviously not knowing whether he can play or not, but let's just go on the premise for the sake of this discussion, Colin Kaepernick, after all these years off, could play in the league. With everything that's going on and what the commissioner said this week, do you think there's a real shot he's on a roster, at least in training camp, Jeremy, here in a month or two?
You know, I'm not totally convinced of that yet because it's still up to teams to decide that they need a player like that, and they haven't done that with Cam Newton, who's probably the better player right now, just based on pedigree and winning MVP, and no teams are signing him either. So I don't know that Kaepernick's going to jump the list there unless, you know, the league comes together and says collectively this guy needs to be in the league based on what's happened nationally in the last month or really in the last 4 years since Kaepernick first knelt. And so you're dealing with a lot of dynamics there. I've talked to some people around the league, some execs who say, there are a few fits for him that make sense, the Chargers being one and the Titans being one. You have a lot of play action with an athletic quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. You don't have the strongest quarterback room as far as one through three. So you could probably seamlessly put Kaepernick in there. Titans ownership has been out front saying, you know, that they support the Black Lives Matter cause and all that's associated with that. So that makes sense on certain levels to bring a guy like that in. You know, but there aren't many others. You look at even teams that are a dearth at quarterback talent, like Washington, Jacksonville. You know, they haven't really been eager to add to their quarterback room for the most part. So there aren't a lot of options, but there are a few, and we'll see if they shake out. It could be a situation where he just waits a little bit to see if somebody gets hurt. Because I don't know that he wants to be backup. He probably wants to play and have a chance to start.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. I brought up the conversation on Monday saying if he could play – wouldn't it make sense for the Titans to be interested in him as a backup to Tannehill? You brought up Jacksonville. We're trying to figure out if they're pulling the Miami move of last year where, you know, you had the tanking for Tua. Is this Jacksonville's ploy to, you know, suck for Trevor Lawrence? I mean, it does not look like they've put together a very competitive roster.
Yeah, they've been hard to figure out. They're kind of, I would say yes. It's tilting that way, but it's still hard to do that in the NFL. We saw that with the Dolphins, right? I mean, they ended up getting their guy in Tua. But in the NFL, it simply is hard to tank. It's a hard thing to do. There's just so many different dynamics. You know, you have guys competing out there. Even when you trade away a lot of draft picks, you still have a chance to win. So, you know, Jacksonville's in a spot where they still have some pretty good players in the spot, to be honest. Especially on defense. You know, they're not as loaded as they once were, but there's still some talent there. So, you know, they're going to be at the bottom end of the league. But if they won five games, it wouldn't shock me either, to be honest. So, you know, Doug Marone's a good coach. I mean, there's a lot of factors there beyond just tanking, but I think they figured, hey, we have to reset our locker room. We had a lot of good talent, but we had a lot of bloated contracts, and we had a lot of players that were not happy or good fits here. That's why they've looked into trading Yannick Ngakoue and Leonard Fournette. You know, they're trying to kind of cleanse the culture there, and that takes time.
We're talking to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. A conversation I had earlier, Jeremy, when looking at this season, I think it's easy to say Kansas City, Baltimore, those two teams are at the top of the league. But when you look at the AFC, what team do you identify as the third behind those two, or can you easily do that at this point?
Gotcha. So the NFC, you're saying who's
the AFC
behind the 49ers? Oh, AFC, I'm sorry. So you got the Chiefs, of course, and who's your second?
Baltimore.
So, man, there got to be a few surprises up there, the teams that will emerge. I like the Bills. I really do. You know, I think they're a team that has one of the best pound-for-pound rosters in the NFL, along with New Orleans and some others, and it's going to come down to the quarterback and what they can do. Yeah, I'm not about to disrespect the Titans either based on the run they made. You know, they missed a few pieces, but the core remains intact. You know, they've rebuilt that thing pretty well. Mike Vrabel has them believing. You have a good formula where you still don't have to ask Ryan Tannehill to win games for you or to carry the team. You just have to make plays vertically. I mean, A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith, I mean, you could argue by the end of the year they'll be top 10 at their position. At each position, you know, that makes, you know, they have that talent. And so it's going to be, this is a team that certainly is on the rise, even from what they did last year. I like Tennessee and I like Buffalo.
So Tennessee and Buffalo. And what led us into that conversation was Lamar Jackson coming out and saying that they may have underestimated the Titans. And whenever you have a run like Tennessee had last year going to the AFC Championship game, I mean, it's easy to say they flew under the radar. They're not going to do that as much now. But as this roster, based on everything you just said, as this roster is currently constructed, do you still think they need an additional piece like Clowney or somebody else to put them over that hump? Or are they in your mind the favorite in the AFC South?
They could use one more guy. I mean, up front, I think you could use one more. Just, you know, there's I like some of the pieces they've added, but I don't know that they have enough guys up front in that base defense to scare you. I mean, Vic Beasley's a good signing in that it's relatively low risk. I mean, you know, it's high money, but it's a short-term deal, and you give him a chance to kind of reboot his career for a guy who once led the league in sacks. But he's hardly a slam dunk at this point. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, you're going to expect a lot from. So I like some of the pieces, but they could use one more guy to rush the passer for sure. And I think that's why, and they know it, and that's why they've been involved with Clowney. But this is a guy who's coming off of a season of just a few sacks. So they're not going to pay $18 million a year for that guy. They're just not going to do it. And that's smart. But you hang tight and see if he'll take, you know, somewhere in that $12 to $15 million range, and you try to add. I mean, Everson Griffin's still out there. He comes from more of a 4-3 system, but that's a guy that can get to the quarterback and has always been able to do that. So still some options out there that you can, you know, fool around with. And I think at the end of the day, they'll end up adding somebody between now and, say, late August.
We're talking to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. And, Jeremy, as you can imagine, we've been kicking this around for a long time, and it looks like all signs point to this still being out there for another few weeks before Clowney actually does sign with somebody. You mentioned Everson Griffin. I guess our listeners are probably not nearly as familiar with him, but we're looking for other options, right? So can you illustrate any other options and how that would compare to somebody like Clowney, who, of course, in our area, most people have been watching him since college, so we know very much about him. But those plan Bs, I would have to imagine John Robinson has some alternatives to try to fill that spot if they don't land Clowney.
Yeah, you'd have to at that point try to go for a kind of a hybrid option, or somebody who could be a matchup help in, you know, a multiple defense. Like, you know, Marcus Golden is probably a pretty good number two pass rusher, right? The Giants have tendered him as an unrestricted free agent, but another team can get involved and negotiate. Maybe that's somebody to get in to help. And see, you know, Griffin comes to mind. You don't, in this climate, you're probably not going to try to trade for a Yannick Ngakoue or any of those guys on the franchise tag. You know, the money just doesn't make sense, and they're not like solidified top five guys. So it just doesn't, make a lot of financial sense to make that kind of move. And otherwise, you know, there aren't a lot of players out there that can help off the edge right now. I mean, most of them have been paid. That's why Clowney is still kind of stuck out there like a sore thumb, and why I still think Tennessee is in that mix.
Jeremy Fowler is with us. So I noticed you put out there about the what Cleveland's thinking is right now with Myles Garrett. I think some people would find this interesting. We all have the same thing pop into our mind, that awful incident that took place at the end of the game against the Steelers, but the guy is an immense talent. We were just talking about the importance of edge rushers. So it looks like they're in some talks, perhaps, on how to lock him up long-term.
Yeah, you know, this is a player that's probably a top-five pass rusher in the league. 2 years left on his rookie deal, and he got the fifth-year option, so they can save some money there, actually, by getting ahead of things and trying to sign him now, using those 2 years to soften the blow of the future contract. And spread it out over a per-year basis. And so the Browns have the luxury of having a player like Olivier Vernon, a good pass rusher, but he's on the books for $15-plus million in salary cap money. He's in the last year of his deal. You could cut him for no cost if you wanted to. So you can either do that to try to save up for signing Myles Garrett, or you can sign Garrett and then just switch out Clowney with Vernon. Or you can keep Vernon, who's still a good player and might be, in some cases, better than Clowney, pound for pound. And so, you know, they have options financially, and so they can make this work. I think that's why they're trying to swing for a home run a little bit. And they also have Denzel Ward, Baker Mayfield, which have a lot of good players coming up in the pipeline. The Browns figure, hey, we finally have a good nucleus of good players. We need to pay them.
Jeremy, last thing for me, that we're all, I think, trying to look on the horizon and figure out how leagues are going to try to get through, you know, whether it's a college football that we're talking about, the NHL, which is in our town. You know, we've talked baseball. They've got obvious issues. But when you go through this period where we know that the revenues are going to go down with number of people you can let in, how do you think the NFL is, and I saw you tweeted on this, you know, how well are they equipped to go through in terms of the salary cap, the revenues, this dip that we're going to see, if in fact they have to go through a season without full capacity of fans?
Well, the goal right now is to, you know, to try to soften the blow of losing $40, $45 million in salary cap money per team next year, because they've projected already through the Players Association and the NFL that $3 billion could be the magic number here of lost money if there are no fans in the stands. You split that in half because the players get about 48% of the total revenue that goes into the cap. And, you know, you're looking at that going from 200 to about 160 next year real quick. And so the league is working on ways to borrow from future years because you're under an 11-year CBA right now. The money is supposed to be outrageous between the 17-game season coming, gambling money. I mean, we're talking the cap could, in a normal climate, go up to $300 million here in the next, I don't know, 6 to 10 years. And so it doesn't really hurt you all that much to take 40 of that, move it into 2021. And so, I think that's what they'll end up doing. I also think there's probably a way to split this in half and have a partial capacity fan base in your stadiums. I mean, between masks and temperature checks, I do think there's a way to do that. You know, suites in stadiums are pretty well protected. You can put 6 to 8 people in a suite and, it doesn't really expose them to anybody else for the most part. You can distance people. You can charge extra for tickets. I mean, the league's looking at every creative way, and teams are looking at this too, every way to just increase that bottom line just a bit and soften the blow from what could be an ugly year.
No doubt about it. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Jeremy, thank you so much for the visit as always, and continue to be safe. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime. Take care.
That is Jeremy Fowler. Does a great job covering the NFL for ESPN, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll kind of get into some of the things you just heard there. Pretty interesting hearing him lay out kind of the landscape of the AFC, and we'll talk about that on the other side to start up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.